Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Steve Vaughn, also in studio with you. A couple homeschooling dads raising our children out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. During the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom, the breakdown of a biblical worldview. The Christian worldview had a huge impact. People used to base their ideas on the Ten Commandments, that's right, the revealed laws of God, until natural law took over. And natural law becomes less and less natural with every single generation unless you apply revealed law to it. But, of course, you have Christian pastors who hate to talk about God's law, and they certainly do not want to apply it to the civil realm. But we do. Just a couple of guys still hanging on to some semblance of a Christian worldview on the eastern plains of Colorado. And thankfully, there are a few out there who want biblical law imposed upon society and also biblical law such that liberty might be retained here and there for those Christians who have their businesses, such as Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby's suit has made it to the Supreme Court of the United States. And we'll talk about that on this edition of the program. Supreme Court is hearing opening arguments and apparently will eventually give their decision somewhere around June of this year. May take a couple of months to come to their conclusions. We'll see what happens with that. But the Wall Street Journal had an extensive article on David Greene, the president, and Hobby Lobby in I think it was Monday's paper. Steve, apparently Hobby Lobby is doing actually pretty well. 560 stores. They do $2.2 billion a year. David Greene, one of the most wealthy Christians in the world, he's worth about $5 billion,
wow.
That according to the Wall Street Journal. I didn't realize they shared someone's gross assets, but apparently the Wall Street Journal knows how much people earn and how much people are worth. Hobby Lobby already covers the abortive patient pill and sterilization with their insurance plan. It was just the fact that they were supposed to cover the Plan B pill and intrauterine devices where they drew the line. So they drew the line right there and said they believe that the abortifacients kick in with the Plan B pill, which is true. That's part of the intent of the Plan B pill. David Greene started his business back in the 1970s. He was working with his boys. It was a family economy, and they were working on making frames for artwork in their basement. Their boys were 7 years old and 9 years old when he first got started. The first year, they made some $3,000 in orders. 2 years later, they built their first store, and now they have 560 stores around the country and do $2.2 billion a year. Not bad for a family economy, huh, Steve?
Not bad at all. I'm wanting to do that.
One reason why we love family economies.
That's right.
And here's another reason, Steve, why family economies is a good idea. Is because you establish your own businesses, and you have the control of what happens with those businesses.
Really?
Well, you're supposed to. Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a moment. That's the way it's supposed to work. I know that powerful governments and powerful corporations want to control all of life, and righteousness does not prevail. But where there are family economies and where there are Christians calling the shots in their family economies, guess what? Righteousness prevails. And anybody who's got anything but passion for righteousness, anybody who wants to see God's law preserved and implemented in family economies or in small islands here and there around the Western world will back our family economics idea and check out our family economics conference this year, this week.
This week, yeah.
This week happening here in the Denver metro area, familyeconomics.com for more information. Again, friends, if you want to see something of a Christian influence in society, man, you're going to want to see families who have control over their own ministries and their own economies and, of course, their own businesses. And thanks be to God, there are a few family economies still extant somewhere around the United States. Hobby Lobby's president, David Greene, being one of them, and he's fighting hard to retain some kind of control over his own business. He's had that control since the 1970s. It's only been since Obamacare and the fascist control of private enterprise in America that David Greene has had to go to court, and he is appealing this thing to the Supreme Court of the United States, and I'm thankful he's doing that, Steve.
Amen.
I mean, thankfully somebody's out there doing it. There's also, I think, a Mennonite organization that's fighting hard against these abortifacients, and they also have appealed to the Supreme Court of the United States, and the Supreme Court is hearing opening arguments for those cases this morning. This is Tuesday. apparently they lost the first round of their appeal in 2012, Steve. The federal district judge ruled that businesses do not get religious freedoms.
Religious
freedoms only for individuals.
Isn't that nice? The government can tell us that.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah, when God set up the government, now the government's saying, well, you can't have...
You can't respect God.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't respect his laws. You can't... And you can't enjoy any kind of private property or control over your own private property, in that you can make your own decisions as to what happens with your private property. But thankfully, they won the second round at the Tenth Circuit here in Denver. That's a shocker.
Yeah.
You know,
at least it wasn't the Ninth Circus.
It was the Tenth Circuit, and that's the good news.
Yeah.
The Tenth Circuit ruled that associations were entitled to religious rights, and that contradicted the early court ruling in 2012. The case now comes before the Supreme Court of the United States. As I said, the decision is due in June. Well, Steve, a couple of things. One is, just very, very basically, God does not want us killing innocent life. And the Christian church has always been pro-life, always been pro-life, always been trying to protect babies, including babies who might be destroyed by pharmaceuticals or some forms of drugs. Tertullian has an important comment he makes about how people were using herbs and drugs to try to kill the innocent life in the womb of the woman. And so we find that in the third century with Tertullian. You also find many comments. Barnabas has a comment about how evil it is to commit an abortion, how Christians never do it. It shows up in the Didache as well early on. And of course, I've made this point many, many times. The Lex Talionis is a situation set up in which if a woman delivers a child and that child dies, it is a life for a life. That's Exodus chapter 21. So many, 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 many texts, many, many, much, much in terms of a Christian heritage that backs the pro-life position. It's only been in the 20th century with a massive, massive apostasy from the Christian faith, in which billions of children have lost their lives thanks to the abortifacient birth control pill, thanks to the abortuaries, thanks to the advancements, quote unquote, in medical technology, in which the murder of innocents has exponentially increased in just the last 50 to 60 years. Thank you, Margaret Sanger.
Yeah. And a lot of you may be wondering, you know, about this, you know, about the birth control pills. Well, the birth control pills are not 100% in prevention of ovulation.
Mm-hmm.
As a registered nurse, I've actually studied this. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have something within the birth control pill to make the uterus uninhabitable for a fertilized egg. So there is breakthrough ovulation. There are abortions that are happening with the birth control pill. If you believe, which both Kevin and I do, and hopefully most of you out there do, that conception is when life begins, then once that conceptus goes down the fallopian tube and tries to implant, the birth control pill has a mechanism within that to prevent that, and it will kill that conceptus, and you will have a spontaneous abortion with that.
Yeah, and I haven't heard anybody with any medical background contradict that position. The physician's desk reference includes the abortifacient quality as they discuss the birth control pill. The physician's desk reference says it. So I don't think there's any debate on that, on this issue. It's just a question of whether the government should enforce abortifacient funding and abortifacients upon private enterprise. And that's the question here for Hobby Lobby. On the one hand, you know, we want to take a position against abortion. We sure would like to see it illegalized. We would like governments to stand in the gap and say, no, you cannot murder innocent children. Well, we've had a hard time fighting that battle. Now, governments are imposing the idea of abortifacients and encouraging private enterprise, private families to back the destruction of innocent life in the womb of their mothers. And this, my friends, I find to be intolerable. But secondly, our fellow forefathers would be horrified that that modern governments are enforcing so many regulations upon private enterprise, private property. Think about what happened in the case of Naboth's vineyard. Ahab not only wanted to control Naboth's vineyard, he wanted to confiscate Naboth's vineyard. And it's interesting that God's judgment upon the house of Ahab ultimately was predicated upon what he did with Naboth's vineyard. It wasn't predicated upon the destruction of the prophets. Now that, of course, the murder of prophets was, I'm sure, a negative on the account of Ahab.
Yeah.
But when it came down to it, the reason why Elijah came and said, I'm sorry, the kingdom's going to be taken away from you, your whole house is going to be destroyed, the reason he said that was because Ahab confiscated Naboth's vineyard. God's respect for private property is very, very important, very significant. And also Jesus in the parable of the workers talks about how he can do whatever he wants with his own money. He can pay whatever rate he wants to pay. And if the worker is willing to receive that, there should be no government that would control the wage hiring and firing of workers on the part of the private enterprise. And so we find this substantiation for a free enterprise perspective throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament. And once again, the President of the United States has worked very, very hard to increase the regulative control over private enterprise. And what's especially egregious about this one is that they're going after Christian companies. They're going after the last few Christian companies in the United States of America.
Yeah, the government presumes that they own everything already. I mean, with property taxes, there are no property rights according to the government. And you may think that you have paid off, you know, when you paid off your house and you can burn your mortgage, that you now own that property, but you still pay rent to the government every month. And you know, just try not to, and they'll come take it away from
you. That's probably the most tyrannical form of taxation out there.
Yes.
Inheritance taxation is bad. But private property taxation is probably the worst, Steve. I've taken a position against this for a very long time. It's too bad there are very few people who stand for liberty these days. I'd love to run into a Thomas Jefferson, a Benjamin Franklin, or a Patrick Henry. It'd be wonderful to find a single Patrick Henry who lives somewhere in this county outside of, you know, the two or three families I know. It would be wonderful to run into families who can see that property taxation is an egregious, immoral, wicked form of taxation and ought to be removed. That's one of the worst, most tyrannical forms of taxation known to man, and it's too bad that property taxation is imposed upon private property, not just businesses, but also just about every single person out there who owns his property.
So yeah, this just shows that the government believes they own everything and everybody. I mean, they can tell you what you can and cannot do with your body. They can tell you what you can and cannot do with your property. And so, you know, when the Supreme Court hears this, as they're hearing this, they're not going to go back to the Bible to determine whether or not this is okay. They're going to determine this based upon what's best for the government.
Well, they assume the God state.
Right.
They assume that the state has become God on planet Earth, and there are no restrictions to what governments can do. This is the perspective of the two kingdom guys. This is the perspective of those who will not apply the word of God and bind governments down by the laws of God. We need to do this. If we don't, we are backing the God state. We are backing a wrong religion. And I encourage other Christian pastors to stand firmly against the rising God state and the socialistic totalitarian state that has been rising nonstop for the last 100 years. Remember, Steve, back in 1900, only 9.5% of, or roughly 9% of our monies were taxed by governments. Now it's upwards of 50 to 65%, depending on the state you live. So 65% of the GNI goes to state, federal, and local taxation or expenditures, and that, my friends, I find to be a massive tyranny. That ought to be stripped down. There ought to be some repentance on the part of our Supreme Court. There ought to be repentance on the part of our governors, upon the part of our legislatures. I'd love to see some repentance in these areas. We have two problems, Steve. We have anarchy amongst the populace. That is an individualist form of autonomy amongst the populace. They do whatever they want to do. They get drunk. They fornicate right and left. They get divorced for ungodly reasons. So you've got anarchy happening. You have autonomy happening amongst the masses, and you have autonomy happening amongst our governors who have abandoned God's laws as the standard by which they ought to govern the nation. We have two problems. We have people out of control amongst governments, And then we have people out of control amongst the populace. It's just a nation that has abandoned God and has abandoned his law. And unless we repent of these things, I think God's judgment is practically certain. Be back in just a moment. More egregious things happening to the bodies of precious little babies in England. They've been using them to heat hospitals in England. Horrific things happening. Auschwitz happening in England. That next on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring a conference in Denver, Colorado on March 27 to 29, 2014. This is for families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy. This is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business streams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including family economics guru Alan Carlson and entrepreneur Dave Tucker, and yours truly, Kevin Swanson. Join us for our Family Economics Conference in our backyard, Denver, Colorado, March 27 to 29, 2014. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com.
Back on the Generations broadcast, this is Kevin Swanson, Steve Vaughn, also in studio with sad news, bad news from England today. Hospitals should cremate or bury aborted fetuses rather than incinerating them, the medical director of NHS in England says. This comes from a BBC.com article just a couple of days ago. Some sick stuff happening here, Steve. Apparently, they're burning these bodies. And in some hospitals, they use the burned bodies of these aborted babies as a means of heating these hospitals. Just horrific. I don't think we've seen this since Auschwitz. Now, whether or not they're alive, we don't know. Some of the babies may be born alive. They may not be. But either way, this is just sick. How in the world can they get away with this? I guess that's my question here. England may be a little further down the track than we are. There's very little conscience left, very little moral conscience left on any moral issue whatsoever. Places like England and Sweden. Why? Because they're nations in apostasy. They'll tell you they're nations in apostasy. They'll say, hey, we are apostatizing away from the Christian faith. We hate God, we hate the Bible, and we hate the Christian faith. That's not everybody, but that's just about everybody.
Yeah.
Church attendance in England has dropped off from about 15% to 6% over the last 30, 40 years. Average age of church attenders has risen from 38 to 58 since 1970. So, yeah, England is in apostasy. And when a nation is in apostasy, it does some of the worst possible things you could imagine. Example, Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany, a nation in apostasy. No question about it. They're going to persecute any godly Christian man left. And the same thing's going to happen in England, okay? They'll burn the bodies of innocent little babies to heat their hospitals, and then they'll persecute Christians. That'll be the next thing they do, Steve. I think it's the next thing coming. Now, right now, there's something of a conscience here, at least with the BBC story. Health Minister Dr. Dan Poulter said this practice was totally unacceptable, the practice of disposing bodies in incinerators used to heat hospitals. He calls that totally unacceptable. Now, he must have something of a conscience. My guess is he's not using the word of God. He's not saying it's against God's law.
Right.
He's not saying that. But he just, something of a conscience. Apparently, he still believes that whatever they did in Auschwitz was evil. And he's thinking that this is unacceptable. Now, unacceptable, totally unacceptable, doesn't necessarily mean totally immoral. And maybe
right.
It was not practical. It may mean that it's just politically incorrect. It has it gives people the weebie-jeebies, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he hasn't said it's immoral. He just says it's totally unacceptable.
I'm disappointed trusts may not be informing or consulting women and their families. So this is the problem, they say. You've got to consult the women and their families before you burn the bodies and heat the hospitals.
Right. So you got to get their opinion first. I think he goes on to say that it's insensitive.
Yeah, he said. Yeah, he says disposal via incineration should be handled as a sensitive, and therefore should not be done alongside the burning of waste. So now see, here's the problem. They're really caught between the horns of a dilemma.
Yes, they
either
are.
Either it's a human being and you're burning the body of a human being, or it's not a human being, and you're just burning dirt or wood or whatever.
Yeah, one of the things that he says in there is that the parents, especially if these, and it's not just the aborted babies, but it's also stillbirths and miscarriages and things like that, that the parents actually believe that this is a baby. From the time of conception, they're looking forward to a baby, is what he says in this article, and that it is totally insensitive to then tell them that, okay, well, we're going to take care of this, and then they end up using the baby's body to heat the hospital. And he's saying, you know, this is just insensitive because it doesn't allow for the parents to grieve what they think is a baby. And so I don't think he's quite crossed the line thinking that this is actually a human being.
No.
They call it human tissue, but it's not a human being.
I don't think he believes it's a human being. I think he believes it's tissue. But then he turns to the parent and say, okay, we'll say whatever you want it to be.
Right.
We'll just, if you want it to be this, we'll say it's that. So we'll put it in the realm of subjectivity, but we are committed to the position that this is not a human being and does not deserve a proper burial.
Yeah. So on the discharge papers, I guess what he would have them do is to say, okay, so, you know, if you would like to have the baby back or this human tissue back for you to bury it, check this box. If you want us to cremate and give you the ashes or maybe, you know, spread the ashes wherever you would like them, check this box. If you want to use the baby's body to heat the hospital, check this box. And we'll do whatever you want because we don't want to be insensitive.
Well, this is classic postmodernism. They have no sense of morality. They've abandoned morality entirely. There is no standard for morality. There is none. None left. And at this point, Steve, all bets are off for the future. Bets are off for the future. Either the child is a baby, a true human being created in the image of God, or it's not a baby, just human tissue. It's not in the realm of subjectivity. It's either a baby or it's not a baby. And at this point, the hospital administration, the leadership in England is taking the position that these are not babies and you can do whatever you want with them. You can turn them into shampoo. You can burn their bodies and use them to heat hospitals. But this, friends, is another indication of the sick, sick mind of the modern liberal, or at least I should say the modern apostate, those who have abandoned any semblance of morality or any semblance of a moral standard.
I wonder what they would do if these were, you know, puppies or kittens or something like that. I mean, the liberal media
would be up in arms.
Oh, they'd be all over that.
Yeah. But as Christians, what do we say, Steve? What we say is these babies are made in the image of God. And in the case of any stillbirth, you have opportunity. You have the baby in your hands. You bury the baby. It's very simple. You give the baby a proper burial.
Yeah, we had some friends
you
that
you pray God's mercy and you comfort the loved ones. That's what you do. It's what you do with anybody who passes away.
Yeah, we had some friends that they were newlyweds, newly married. She'd gotten pregnant, and they did lose the baby. They gave the baby a name, Mercy Grace. And what was interesting is they had a very difficult time finding a place that would actually do the burial. And they did find a Catholic burial ground off of way out east, off of 6th and, you know, close to Buckley Air National Guard. And they actually did this as I don't think it cost anything or cost very little to have the burial there. And they have a special place for the miscarriages and stillbirths.
And we need to trust in the resurrection. Another reason why we bury, we trust the resurrection is imminent. There's no sense in destroying the body because that body is going to rise from the dead. And we have hope in that resurrection. But if you're just cosmic dust, hey, it's just cosmic dust, and it's a higher form of cosmic dust, and who cares if one piece of cosmic dust murders another piece of cosmic dust and then burns its body to heat a hospital? That's the perspective of the naturalists, the materialists that run our systems today, friends. They don't believe in God. They don't believe that humans are made in the image of God, and they certainly don't believe in the ethics that God handed down to Moses on the mountain. Well, folks, our solution to these issues is to respect human life. Respect human life. Give the child a proper burial, and let's fight for life, Steve. We got to fight for life. We've got to continue to pray for what's going on with the Supreme Court of the United States. I would say with these opening arguments, let's pray that God blesses Hobby Lobby and those that are fighting the good fight out there. We appreciate these guys and what they're doing, because we absolutely need something of an island of freedom. If we are living in Nazi Germany, if we are going to be living in a society in which murder and mayhem happens all around us, we as Christians need to turn out away from all that, be separate, and we need the freedom to be able to save our own children. We need the freedom not to fund abortifacients and encourage others to commit abortions themselves. We need to do what we can to be the salt, yeast, and light to preserve society about us. We may not be able to change things very much, but we need to use God's laws on a full court press to maintain whatever liberties we can possibly maintain whatever standards of righteousness we can possibly maintain. We may be pressed onto islands. Well, let's at least defend those islands, but let's also establish a full court press and encourage others not to murder their babies in the wombs as well.
Yeah, and if you're going to be teaching God's law, you fathers need to be reading God's law and doing family worship with your family. And one of the resources that we've used is your Proverbs, your Psalms, Genesis, the study guides that you've put out. And we really appreciate those and have used those often for our family worship and learning what it is that God says.
Let's root and ground our children on the principles of God's words. And the book of Proverbs, Steve, very practical, applies God's law, God's word to our children's lives. And even if we can't correct everything that's happening in governments, at least we can root our children on the proper principles of God's word, turn them to Christ, point them to the blood of Christ, the forgiveness that God gives to us, and then encourage our children to love God and keep His commandments. Teach your children God's word as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. You can get our family Bible study guides at our website, kevinswanson.com. We're clean out of time now, but turn to our website for our radio show. You'll hear our radio show each and every workday, broadcast anywhere around the world, anywhere you get internet. Get your friends and family members to tune in to Our Generation's radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.